Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to a brand new DNF1 F1 podcast. I hope that you're all doing well and thank you as always for being here. And we're still waiting for the preview of the Australian Grand Prix, and as a result I thought it might be a little bit of fun to talk about a topic that has been discussed rather, well, I suppose there's a lot of layers to it, but it has been discussed quite a lot in the F1 media, so I thought we'd entertain this idea, and that was, will Max Verstappen leave Red Bull? And if he does, where will he end up? Now, I know that sounds crazy, but we've already had the Lewis Hamilton moving to Ferrari news for 2025. So why not? Why not entertain this idea? Could Max Verstappen leave Red Bull? I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, perhaps it's more likely now than it ever has seemingly been for a long, long time. But to discuss that with me, entertain this story a little bit and try and put our own analysis on this particular subject, we've got friend of the show and one of my favourite F1 journalists around right now, and that's Mr. Sam Cooper. Sam, first of all, thanks for coming back on the show. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, well, good, thanks. Yeah, well, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, am I allowed to ask you what you've been up to today?
Yeah, you can do. Yeah, I just explained before, and I went to F1 Drive, which is the go-karting track in London inside Tottenham Hotspur's football stadium. So it was quite a weird, surreal thing to be inside the same. But I mentioned it before we started recording, just because I'm knackered. Like, I don't know if anyone's done any kind of karting, but it can do a lot of effort for a while. So yeah, but yeah, it's good fun. I'd recommend it if anyone's in the area. But yeah, it's got all the F1 bells and whistles, really. So you've got like David Croft doing the commentary. It has DRS it doesn't have a back wing, but you just go a little bit quicker if you push the button. So yeah, it's all the fun things I would recommend.
Do you know what? I was thinking about this when I heard all of the specs and everything that was going to be introduced at this particular venue. And as soon as I heard DRS was going to be a thing, I thought, how on earth do they do DRS in a go-kart? But now you've explained it, it makes perfect sense. Do they have ERS as well?
They do, yeah. So you have two kinds of boosts. So yeah, you have the ERS, which you can use whenever it's charged. And then the DRS, which is like F1. It's not the same. You don't have to be within a second of someone to do it, but in this one, you just push it on certain parts of the track and you go a little bit quicker. Yeah, but it does feel, to be fair, like you're flying around at times. Like, you sort of forget how quick they go as go-karts, and that's obviously nowhere near as quick as an F1 car. So,
yeah, we should always remind ourselves. I imagine most of us, when we step into a go-kart, we go really well and we think, oh, yeah, I could do this. I could be like a Formula One driver. And then reality is, no, probably not. Mm-hmm. Chances are. I mean,
yeah,
I'd love to
yeah
go,
very true, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure even when you see the videos on Sky Sports and that feature with Lando, George and Alex at the Bahrain kart circuit, those guys are just on a completely different level to the rest of us, even though some of them were cutting corners. Not going to name names, but George
Russell. Well, you say that, actually. It's interesting you say that, because just as we were about to go on, there was an F4 driver, and I've completely forgotten his name, but you just watched him do it, and he was like, it was effortless. Like, he was going so quick, and you think, oh, I can do that. And then you go out and they're like, oh, I'm 10 seconds slower than that, man.
Do you know what I put that down to? And I'm going to speak for myself here, Sam. I'm sure other people apply it how they want to. But I always say to myself, if I'm slower than other guys, usually chuck in the old weight excuse. That's usually the way around it. They don't have that in F1. Usually everyone's super fit. They adjust the ballast, the weight difference, unless you're driving an Alpine, of course, is usually this very, very minimal. So, yeah, if you want to, as I said, speaking for myself here, anyone else wants to do that, they can do so at their own leisure. But that's usually my go-to excuse if I'm not the quickest.
Yeah, I should definitely use that in the future. Yeah, I would definitely say that. That's the reason. Anything that's not my actual fault, that's the reason behind it.
Oh, absolutely. You get the race driver's excuse, you're halfway there. Then the rest of us just need the talent and we're already there. But that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, no, I should clarify. George was the innocent party in that go-karting race. He certainly wasn't the cheater. Alex and Lando cutting corners like, well, if they'd have done that in an actual race, I'd imagine they'd have got 20 seconds worth of time penalties and just for good measure, give Magnussen another 10 after his antics at
Jeddah.
But look, we should talk about the obvious elephant in the room. And Sam, as an F1 journalist, you've had a lot to cover over this winter period. Now, Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari has obviously been the headline story. The news regarding Christian Horner's investigation and everything that's been going on at this civil war at Red Bull has very much dominated the headlines, perhaps more so than the actual race in itself, which is a shame, but I think that's the current situation we're in with F1. Now, there are reports, or there have been reports over the last couple of weeks since Jeddah, that Max Verstappen may entertain the idea of leaving Red Bull if certain personnel that he's loyal to leaves as well. I mean, how can you get your head around that as a story? I mean, as I said, when Lewis went to Ferrari, or said he was going to Ferrari, that was amazing. I almost fell off my chair when I thought that Max might end up leaving Red Bull.
Yeah, I think the main difference here is, I think the best way to describe this is a power struggle. I mean, I think Hamilton generally went to Ferrari because he wanted to. I don't think he left with any bad grace from Mercedes. Like, obviously, they were disappointed to lose him, but there wasn't any bad blood kind of thing. Whereas personally, I've always been of the mind that Verstappen's not going anywhere. Like, at the end of the day, he has a chance to win so many more titles, like break so many more records, and he's going to do that at least until 2026. You'd say probably in a Red Bull, he's got another two seasons of being in a dominant car. So why, if for a man who's openly said he's just focused on winning, why would you sort of entertain not winning? But obviously, a lot goes into being an F1 driver and an F1 team. Like, it's not just what we see in a racetrack, and there's no doubts, there's meetings behind closed doors that we're not privy to. So I don't know. It's hard to really guess, really, sort of why he would sort of suggest these kind of things, and sort of where the rumors started. I mean, obviously, this whole Christian Horner investigation sort of really shone a light on the inner workings of Red Bull, and it's like it's sort of shown who's in whose camp, really. And like, it's become very clear that Verstappen is with Helmut Marko. I mean, that's fair enough if you sort of consider Verstappen's history. It was Marco that put him in the car from an early age. It was Marco that did all this. It was Marco who worked with the academy drivers a lot and sort of pushed Verstappen to what he is now, along with his dad, Jos, obviously. And I think we've never really had the bad impression that he's got a bad relationship with Christian Horner. But perhaps if it came down to whose side he's on, I think Verstappen made that very clear when it was announced that Horner might go or whatever. Like, he was sort of on the fence and saying, oh, we'll see what happens. But when it's a case of, oh, Marco might go, he was very definitive then, saying, if he goes, I go, kind of thing. And that's, of course, sort of where this all started, which is a long way to get back to what you originally asked me, is where how he could possibly get a Mercedes. And obviously, you're right, you mentioned it in the intro that would probably be the only top seat. I say that in air marks at the moment, because obviously there's only really one or two top seats at the moment, both of them at Red Bull. So, yeah, I mean, it is a very intriguing situation. And, yeah, like I said, personally, one I don't think is going to ever come off, at least not until 2026, and maybe the grid will get changed a little bit then. But, yeah, I think this is a classic case of a person's not happy with the team. They start to threaten to leave. I mean, we've all done similar in our own lives, I imagine, where we sort of threaten something we don't actually really mean, and hope that no one pulls us up on it. And like, that's sort of what I can sort of see is happening within Red Bull right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've summed it up brilliantly of how we've ended up in this position where there's, well, how can I put this? There's not a significant chance that Max Verstappen won't be driving a Red Bull. That's not what I'm saying here. But I think 2 months ago, we'd have just laughed our heads off at the prospect of Max Verstappen even considering, within the slightest matter of his mind, of actually trying to leave a team. Now there's actual possibility that it could happen. Not necessarily saying it will, but there is certainly the prospect that it may be considered if his position within the team or other people's positions in the team that he's loyal to become untenable. Now, this all stemmed originally from the investigation of Christian Horner's conduct in the workplace and also coercive behavior that he was accused of by a female employee. That exists as its own separate situation now. And obviously from that, this civil war has started to really become public knowledge, something that may have been brewing for some time here, Sam. Do you think it's quite significant that, given what you described earlier, how Max Verstappen in particular, his reaction to being asked for comments about Christian Horner and trying to back him versus how he's publicly backed Helmut Marko. Do you think that's rather significant to where he sits in this Red Bull power struggle?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's the clearest indication of he's on Marco's side, isn't it? I think centrally to this, and obviously if we sort of ignore the investigation, sort of why that came about, because I think it's the investigation is one thing, but sort of the people behind trying to use the investigation is a different thing. It's quite clear that it's Horner v. Marko. Like, those two are in this unique situation where they don't really have... I mean, it's enough, you look up and down the grid, like, no other team has this sort of power dynamic where there's two people who can arguably say they're at the top of the tree, really. Like, every other team is a de facto number one. Like, it's easy to spot who that person is. And then, yes, there may be another senior leader, but they ultimately... I mean, McLaren's a perfect example. Let's look at that. Like, Zak Brown is quite clearly the CEO. He's the top of it. Yes, there's board members above him and stuff like that. But in terms of a race team, Zak Brown's top, even though Andrea Stella's a team principal kind of thing. That's sort of a good example of a clearly defined power structure. Whereas in Red Bull, you've got Christian Horner, who is CEO and team principal. So you'd think that would make him the top dog, as it were. But then you've got Helmut Marko, who's got this sort of weird floating role of motorsport advisor, whatever his actual official title is, with the Red Bull parent company. So this is a relationship that's worked well for decades. Like, it's sort of been fine, and like, everyone's sort of had their place. But we do sort of tend to see, as teams become more about winning, they start to win more titles, more people start to want to get more credit, and maybe one of the parties feels they're not getting enough credit, and sort of that's how it happens. So yeah, from an outsider point of view, like I said, no one knows what goes on behind Red Bull's closed doors, but it does look like it's a case of Marko v. Horner, and it's very clear that Verstappen is on Marco's side of that debate.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, Marko has always been wrapped up in some level of controversy. I mean, we're talking about a guy here that is very outspoken to the media, specifically to Dutch journalists, I think it's probably fair to say, and a lot of the comments that you see from him on social media that make you look at it and go, oh, why has he gone and said that? Like, honestly, like, we're trying to be progressive here, and then he's gone and said that. Quite often that's usually said to the Dutch press, who, you know, as hilariously as you'd want to take them, and they are obviously very, very good at what they do, let's not discredit that, but those are the guys that often quite have very little filter, if any at all. They just like people to say it as it is, say what they want to do. And I think a lot of the drivers and teams are quite happy to speak to them as a result of that, because there is no sort of, well, there's almost no PR rules on this almost, but you just say what you want to say. But with Marko, there's no secret that he does tend to go a bit one step too far with that sometimes. And it's always been something that I think of as annoyed Red Bull. And then, you know, it wasn't so long ago that, you know, Marko was talking about Sergio Perez saying that, you know, he wasn't able to do certain things, or he wasn't a good driver, along the lines of his, because he was Mexican. And it was a characteristic of him where they characterized him as lazy.
It was worse than that. He said it was South American, which obviously A is xenophobic in itself, but also Mexico isn't South America. Sorry.
No, and that's why you're the journalist. You're correcting me, so that and that's even worse. And look, we're not going to focus on that too much, because obviously that issue's been dealt with, but it's situations like that and quotes like that that have led to the annoyance of Red Bull. And obviously a lot of people were calling for him to be suspended or removed at the time, and then there was a whole thing about he's technically not an employee of Red Bull Racing or something like that, so it's a little bit more complicated than that. Point being, he has been centered around a lot of these controversies at Red Bull, this being the latest one where there were rumors and reports circulating suggesting that he was partly responsible or involved in those leaked documents that were sent out to many journalists and many different people at F1 and the FIA related to Christian Horner's apparent or alleged conversations with this female employee during this investigation. So, you know, it's no surprise to see that this Red Bull power struggle does seem to be centered around this battle between Christian and Marko over overall supremacy within Red Bull at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, that isn't surprising. Like I mentioned, like, it is a real power struggle. And I think there's such a big history into Red Bull, and I'm sure it's going to make a great book by someone one day. But obviously Red Bull started as a team when Dietrich Mateschitz, who obviously started the actual drinks company, met with Helmut Marko, and they sort of decided to, A, it was a junior team to begin with, but then they started to get an actual F1 team together. And that's how that relationship came to be. And those two together obviously picked Horner to be the team principal. Now, I think Mateschitz was always Helmut Marko's biggest ally, and like, he was always someone who supported Marko and sort of what he did. And I think when I was talking about lack of a clear leader. That wasn't the case when Matt Schitts was around. Like, it was clear he was the top person, both within the sporting team and the Red Bull company at large. So when he died in 2022, I think it was, off the top of my head, that sort of, again, created another power vacuum because his son was going to step into the role, but perhaps not at such overseeing as much as he did. And obviously, we've got people like Oliver Mintzlaff now, who's the CEO within Red Bull, sort of looking after the sport division. So again, it just sort of boils down to there's a lot of people with a lot of power, and there's perhaps not one clear figure. There's not one person who says yes or no. And I think this was even reflected in the Horner investigation, where there was reports that saying the Austrian side of the company wanted Horner out, whereas the Thai side of the company, who owned 51% of Red Bull, didn't want him out. So again, you've got like two clashing people. Like, there's no one character who can say yes or no, this is what we're doing kind of thing. And I think that does lead to power struggles throughout the group, really. I mean, like, everyone wants to have the final word, but ultimately, like, that's not going to be the case when there's not a clear, defined leader. And I think Helmut Marko v. Christian Horner is probably like a very small microcosm of that. That's maybe shone a light on a wider company thing that Red Bull, not just as a racing team, but also as a company, maybe have to deal with after their founder passes away. But yeah, like, that's a very long-winded way of saying that, yeah, it's not surprising that these factions have started to develop. And I think what Red Bull have been keeping an eye on is sort of who's in whose, because obviously they've got a lot of key assets. And I think you could, as much as you could say Max is probably the key asset, I think Adrian Newey obviously is also up there as well, because he's the one building these cars, or at least having a very big hand in it. Obviously, there's some other people who work at Red Bull, but Adrian Newey is sort of the one leading that. So I think they're intrigued to see where he landed as well. And I think, yeah, it was all a case of who, like, if you imagine if you're just sort of setting up a chessboard of like who's in what camp kind of thing. And that was sort of, I think Red Bull have ultimately done a good job of sort of keeping it all together for now, at least. And we'll sort of see how it goes on over the next few weeks and months.
I'm curious to ask what your opinion is of how Max Verstappen has handled this, because I think in the Bahrain Grand Prix, there was a lot of people, including rumours that Mohammed bin Salim, the FIA president, was lobbying for Max to come out in public support of Christian, where when Max was asked about this and about his father's comments in particular about Christian Horner, which obviously weren't very positive at all, Max wasn't necessarily going out to bat for Christian to defend him. If anything, he was talking up Christian's qualities as a team principal and obviously the part he's played in Red Bull's success since its inception in Formula One many years ago, and obviously being the team principal and CEO throughout its entirety of that period. But then obviously comparing that to how Max came out and publicly supported Helmut Marko to such a degree where he was practically saying, not quoting it, but practically saying that if Marko goes, when he was being investigated and possibly be, you know, considered to be let go or suspended, that Max would follow with him, implying that maybe there is a loyalty there with Marko that, you know, might give him a bit of a power play when you're talking about Max Verstappen, who is arguably one of, if not Red Bull's biggest asset at the moment. How do you think Max has handled this situation publicly at the moment?
Yeah, I think he's done fine, really. I think it's harsh of any driver to sort of be questioned on this. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if these type of investigations happen a lot and we just don't hear about them, because obviously they're supposed to be internal. The only reason this one isn't is someone leaked it to the press and it's sort of taken a life of its own. But I think if you put in yourself in Max's shoes, like, he was probably getting not much more information than we had. Like, he was waiting for the investigation to finish. So, like, what can he say? He can't come out and say 100% support Christian kind of thing, like, or do the opposite, because he himself doesn't know what the result of the investigation should be. So that's sort of one side of it. And I think it was even more harsh to ask drivers of other teams sort of what they made of it, because they have even less information. But moving on from that, and then I think it was interesting, like, the way he was so different about with Marko. Like, he was clear straight off. I mean, granted, we've also got to remember, I think when he was speaking, he'd just come out of the car, I want to say after qualifying or maybe one of the practice days, but obviously he's been in a quite a high pressure environment. He's probably His blood's running a bit hotter than it is just on a Thursday press conference kind of thing. So maybe that's why it was a bit more emotive language. But I'm not surprised he was like that. I mean, I think, like I mentioned, like, Marko has been very crucial to Verstappen's career, and I think Verstappen recognizes that. And I think Verstappen is someone who sort of respects loyalty, and, like, he's made it clear that he's sticking with these people. And, like, if he thinks that Marko is going to go, then he's going to sort of try to stop that because he thinks it'll be best for his career that he stays. So I'm not surprised he'd sort of dangled the fruit of him leaving or dangled the stick or whatever kind of thing, making it basically a threat saying, if Marco goes, I'll go. And I think that was something that even Marco hinted at. Apparently there's a clause in Verstappen's contract that if Marco leaves, Verstappen can walk away, which is sort of why these Mercedes deals sort of became a rumor anyway. So once that contract clause was known. But yeah, I think it was very telling. I think Verstappen handled all the Horner questions as well as he could, because we've also got not forget that he'll get the answer, ask this question like 1,000 times a day. Like, we'll see it, obviously us two being English speakers, like we'll see it through the English speaking broadcast. But then obviously he goes off to the Dutch and he does all these other interviews and they're all asking the same thing over and over again. And I think anyone would sort of lose their mind being asked the same question over and over again. So yeah, I think he handled it absolutely fine. Like, I think I do sort of have sympathy for Red Bull because I think they were put in a very awkward spot. And I think a lot of people do have criticism for the whatever. And I think personally, I think this sort of goes against the grain a bit, but I think a lot of people are asking for more transparency, but I just, that's not the way that companies work, is it? Like, I mean, imagine if any of us had a grievance at work, like we want that to become details to the world, was it? Regardless of who you are. So yeah, I think Red Bull have largely done an okay job and sort of just rolled with the punches, as it were, sort of did the best they could. But yeah, that was a little short aside. But yeah, I think Verstappen's done absolutely fine. And I think, yeah, he answered the questions just as well as he could, really.
Yeah, I don't blame him for taking the action he has done and saying what he's had to say. As you mentioned, it's probably been incredibly difficult for him to, you know, navigate through all of those press conferences, all of those journalists sticking microphones to him and asking him about this, rather than focusing on what he should be focusing on, and that's demolishing the entire F1 competition at the moment, which he's doing really, really well despite all of this. So, you know, it's amazing how big a news piece this is when all of that is completely forgotten and yet we're focused on stuff that isn't really relevant to what's on track at this point in time. That all being said, you know, what he did say when they asked him about his dad, his comments, and he was saying, well, look, you know, I'll support Christian to a certain degree, but my dad's certainly not a liar in that regard. And I thought that was quite important because it kind of helps him to sort of get away from that and not try and turn this into, oh, you know, Jos said this, but Max said that, or Max is lying with his dad. Or I've seen some people go as far as trying to draw a comparison to the relationship Hamilton had with his dad when they sort of separated from a management perspective, because obviously that got strained a little bit. And now, obviously, thankfully, their relationship is very good now that they're not working in tandem together like they used to be. I've seen people make that comparison, saying that Max needs to bin off his dad or something like that. And, you know, let Jos do his thing and let Max do his. So I admire how he's handled this so far. Not necessarily saying I agree, but I certainly admire that to a certain extent as well. One thing I do want to entertain now is the prospect if Max Verstappen was deciding that, you know, he doesn't want to stay at Red Bull, he's going to call them out on this, and if Marco was let go for whatever reason, and that forced Max to leave. Is Mercedes the only realistic candidate that Max Verstappen could go to and still try and achieve what he wants to achieve in F1? Or have we got to this point, Sam, where if Max really does want to leave Red Bull, he's going to have to be prepared to lose a lot of opportunities to rack up the wins and world championships, which at this point seem inevitable for a driver of his calibre and the machinery he currently has?
Yeah, just to answer that second question, I think it is entirely dependent on sort of if he did move, when he'd move. Like, I think I can't see any team really dethroning Red Bull in the next two seasons without a big, massive regulation change. And we look ahead to 2026, obviously that's going to be a huge year for Red Bull because they're essentially going it alone with their engines for the first time. Like, they've never had their own engine before. Yes, it's branded that now, but they still get a lot of help from Honda. They'll have a bit of help with Ford, but I think that's more a minor role rather than what Honda have been doing now. So yeah, I think if Verstappen does leave, I mean, it'd only realistically be 2025. And I think if he moves in, then yes, he's going to have to accept that he's losing out on some titles. But to answer your first question, sort of where could he go? I think if you look down the grid, like McLaren, obviously, no, they've got two drivers signed up for ages. Ferrari, no, again, because obviously they're not going to boot out Hamilton or Leclerc to get Verstappen in. Mercedes, we mentioned. Aston Martin, that could be another option if they do well this year, do well next year. And then again, that Honda link, which obviously Verstappen's been used to. He's been used to a Honda engine for a large portion of his career now. Like, if that in 2026 sort of becomes a major factor, I think they could possibly be awesome. But then I think you sort of have to draw the line there. Like, that's sort of the only teams that I think he would consider. Like, he's not going to go anywhere else. He's not going to go to an Alpine or a Haas kind of thing. So yeah, of those four, as I mentioned, yeah, I think only two are semi-realistic, and obviously Mercedes are the ones with a current vacant seat for next year, and obviously Aston Martin themselves will have a vacant seat with Alonso not yet extending his deal. So yeah, one of those two. But like I said, like if he does move next year, which I do think is unlikely, like he is going to have to accept that he's not going to be winning every race by about 20 seconds.
Yeah, I personally, you know, as fun as it would be to see that, I just don't think it's realistic at all at this point in time because, I mean, as you rightly pointed out, I mean, it's not a case of would Mercedes not want Max Verstappen. I think it's abundantly clear that Mercedes are more than happy to accommodate that if the opportunity presented itself, especially now that Lewis Hamilton is going to Ferrari. They obviously have a young driver in Kimi Antonelli that they do want to try and fast track into the team. I personally think 2025 is too soon for Kimi. I expect him to be in F1, but I think he's going to be driving a Williams rather than driving a Mercedes. That natural progression like George Russell had clearly is needed for someone of his immense potential and talent. It needs to be sort of honed and everything else put together. So for me, I don't think it's unrealistic that Mercedes would want Verstappen. I think it's more unrealistic that Mercedes, given where they are at this point in time, I think they probably need to be a bit further along in terms of their performance. I'll switch it a little bit. If this was Ferrari in this position, and even though the gap to Red Bull and Ferrari is still pretty big, although it's smaller than everybody else at this point in time, if the rumoured upgrades that are apparently suggested, you know, put out there on certain media outlets that Ferrari could make a significant step forward after Imola to a point where they could be challenging Red Bull in the second half of the season on merit, for race wins, that might be realistic. But, you know, there's a lot of other factors there. With Mercedes, they're scratching their heads again. They're worried about the simulator. They're worried they may have messed up again with this car, and they're not sure if they're going to get it right for 2026. For me, I can understand why Christian Horner would hear these reports about Max entertaining an idea of going to Mercedes and saying, well, if you want to give up the best team and the best car in the world by a mile right now, be my guest. There's almost like majority of the grid would love to be in this car right now. So if you want to leave all of that to go somewhere else and come third at best, then by all means do it.
Yeah, I think that was interesting that Horner said no one's bigger than this team. Like that was like you said, like it was him saying, fine, you don't want to be here, go kind of thing. And I think Red Bull would continue winning if Verstappen left at the end of this year. Because obviously, look, if we look at the first two races, who was in second? It was the other Red Bull driver. So, like you said, there'd be a huge queue of practically every driver on the grid absolutely dying to be in the Red Bull, like other than the ones that already signed up for big deals. So, yeah, I think Red Bull are in a good spot. Obviously, they wouldn't want to lose a driver of the caliber of Verstappen, but ultimately, it comes down to the car, doesn't it? Like Verstappen can add like an extra 10% or whatever, but if the car is already so far down the road, like it doesn't matter about that 10%. That's the case of finishing 20 seconds ahead of your opponent or 10 seconds ahead of your opponent. Like there's not a huge amount in it, but yeah, I think Red Bull's first and foremost, they're going to want to keep him. But if worse comes to worse and they do lose him, I think like you said, like there's going to be a lot of options to put another driver in that seat, and I think there's pretty much every driver on the grid is going to want to have the chance to potentially win a world title, because that's essentially what a seat in a Red Bull is.
Yeah, pretty much so. And for all those reasons, I just don't see it happening. I think this is probably Mercedes at this point, in my opinion, have not been further away from winning a world championship than they currently are at this point in time. I know people say, well, about 2022, but the regulations were still raw by then, and we hadn't really sort of decided that or figured out that Red Bull were going to be dominating the way they are. Now, I don't think it's realistic at all until 2026 for anybody except Red Bull. I'm not even including Ferrari in that picture. I don't think they're going to do it either, despite the optimism there. Even still, you're in a situation right now, if you're Max Verstappen, where you are that huge, incredible commodity, you are that prized asset, but it's Formula One. It's not like you can go to another football club if in a different sport and say, oh, well, I'm just going to go to your rivals and we'll go win things there. And some players have done that and to some success and some have failed. But in Max's case, you are literally leaving almost a guaranteed world championship and several more after that if you go anywhere else at the moment. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. But let's assume he did that, Sam. And let's play devil's advocate here and say Max Verstappen decides to leave Red Bull, goes to Mercedes. if you're a Red Bull and you're looking at who you can potentially put in that car alongside Checo Perez, who are you thinking?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, there's plenty of candidates. There's Fernando, yeah, there's Carlos, so there's Gasly or Ocon. There's maybe pinch someone at McLaren if you can pay them $200 million to buy them out.
I'm going to rule out a few people. So I don't think Gasly or Ocon, they'd go for them. I think Alex Albon may be a shout, but I think Alex Albon's a good driver, but perhaps not on the level of the truly elite in the sport. And I think you do sort of go back to a driver that they've obviously been interested in the past, and I think that's Lando Norris. I mean, that's going to be a case of a very, very expensive buyout and also trying to convince Lando to come. Like, he pretty much had the opportunity to go and he rejected it to stay at McLaren because obviously he's very committed to the McLaren project and he sort of feels at home there. But if I was Red Bull, I would maybe have, like, it's all very hypothetical, but if Verstappen left at the end of this year, maybe get another driver in, maybe someone like an Alonso who you know is going to do well, or like an Albon, and then go all in for Norris or someone of that ilk in 2026. But yeah, I personally think they'll be fine. I think, like I said, I think this is a power struggle move, and I think maybe this 2 week break that we've had between races where they've been kept apart or they've been not at a racetrack might have done the world a good in terms of team tensions and sort of everyone will be mates again. But yeah, it's always fun to have a little bit of a hypothetical thing about who could be racing where. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I like the sound of that too. I mean, and look, I chuck in the McLaren idea with Norris because, you know, even though I jest and say, oh, it probably costs in the region of 150, 200 million to buy Lando out of his contract, I don't think that's unrealistic. But you've got to consider the amount of money that Red Bull are going to save if Max decides to rip up that contract and go. You are talking that kind of figure. So it's not exactly out of the realms of possibility. But yeah, I'm sure anybody worth their credit that would be good enough to win championships in that Red Bull. And there's a lot of drivers out there you could argue that case for, including Checo Perez, if Max was to go. Then, you know, why wouldn't they consider it? But I like the idea of Carlos going in that car as a more longer term option. But do Red Bull want that star power immediately? Fernando is definitely that guy, but he's not a long term option. And to be honest, it almost has that elk of the F1 career mode series. Like, you just play that for a while and everybody goes on a merry-go-round and swaps teams. You've got Hamilton to Ferrari, Max in a Mercedes. For some reason, Sargent's found himself in the Red Bull after all the talk. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of F1 Manager recently, and currently Red Bull is Verstappen and Leclerc. So that's quite the team.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how big their salary bill is. But
yeah. I mean, they could probably afford it, Red Bull. They're the only team. Ferrari could, but, you know, whether they should or not is a different thing. But yeah, I bet that's explosive in that team.
They're actually doing dreadful. It's like 2026 now, and like, obviously you've had the new regulations coming, but yeah, Red Bull can't do it. Absolutely awful. So,
I mean, is that more on you as a manager, Sam, or
I'm not managing them. I'm managing McLaren, so that's entirely there.
Oh, right. Excuse me. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were managing Red Bull.
Oh no. I can't afford that. My budget won't let me afford that. So yeah, no, that's entirely the computer.
No, fair enough. Well, how are McLaren getting on your series?
Oh, we're doing well now. We had a few bad seasons, but like I said, these regulation changes really helped. I think we're in with a good chance.
Oh, good stuff. Well, that's what the people want to see and what they want to hear. And if anyone's worried about the Red Bull dominance right now, don't worry, because in Sam's virtual world, they're muddy.
Yeah, maybe I'll start streaming it just for some relief after Red Bull win by 30 seconds every race.
Yeah, if it were possible without being copyrighted, you could just title it like F1 Australian Grand Prix 2024. This is legit. This is not fake.
Ignore this. Yeah.
If you don't like Red Bull winning, watch this.
Maybe it's an idea. I'll get onto F1 about that.
Yeah, I love that. You should tell your bosses about that. Might be new content for your guys over at Planet F1.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe I have to try and bend their arm.
Well, I mean, it's always fun to talk about, you know, the possibilities of transfer merry-go-rounds. I mean, silly season, I mean, it started at ridiculous proportions and it seems to be ongoing. Who knows what more stories they've got coming for us. But as we approach the Australian Grand Prix, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing what happens on track more so than what happens behind the scenes. But who knows, guys? Let us know if you think Max Verstappen will leave Red Bull. I mean, I suppose just to close this off, Sam, we've got to ask that question because we haven't really entertained it whilst we sort of speculated. Do you see, if you, oh, actually, no, how can I word this properly? If you could put a percentage on Max Verstappen leaving Red Bull. At this point in time, in your opinion, what number would you throw at me?
I'm going to put it as the same percentage of anyone else winning a title this year. So that's probably like 0.0001%.
I thought you were just going to say a flat zero, so altogether.
Close. I mean, he could get an illness or like could give up halfway through the season. That's a very small chance. But yeah, I think it's highly unlikely. Like I said earlier, this is a man who's so motivated by winning. Like, why would you openly choose not to win anymore? So yeah, I think it's very minute. But we'll see. Hamilton Ferrari sort of showed anything's possible. So we'll see if anything does happen.
Well, I mean, the work ethic of the guy is crazy, isn't it? Because, I mean, he was up till like 3 o'clock local time. I know they have to be for like the jet lag and all that stuff, streaming iRacing on his Twitch. Mm-hmm. And then once he's won the Grand Prix and beaten everyone by half a minute, he's back on it again afterwards. The guy's relentless. No wonder he's winning week in, week out.
Yeah, maybe that's what I instead of him getting illness, maybe the off chance of him not winning is because he decides to retire and take up a full iRacing career. Because he seems to absolutely love doing that. He also plays a lot of FIFA, which I respect, because he's sort of just as bad as I am. So, enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm not far away there myself in that one, honestly. But there we go, guys. But I hope you enjoyed that. As I said, let us know your thoughts on the Max Verstappen topic. Do you think he'll leave Red Bull? And should he leave Red Bull? You know, can he bring that success elsewhere? That's probably a better question. But we'll have to wait and see as the season unfolds if we get any more crazy stories and what might happen. I certainly know that if there is a chance that Max Verstappen will leave, that was slightly larger than 0.0001%, I think it was that you mentioned, Sam. Mercedes will certainly look to try and pounce on that and bring him into the team. But until next time, guys, thanks for tuning in. As always, please stay safe and we'll see you in the next episode of the DNF1 F1 podcast. And if you're not first, you're probably DNF1. Take care.
Podcast Network.